Blog Talk Radio.
How are you all tonight? Thank you for calling in. Thank you for being with us tonight here on blogtalkradio.com. We are here.
How you have Lady Say?
And I'm Elizabeth, and we're members of Jesus Christ International Ministries, where Bishop Algie Poole is our pastor. Bishop Poole is on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. for Doctrine of Truth, and we have been given space tonight to speak with you all about
your destiny.
Yes, yes.
Last week, Sister Elizabeth did a wonderful job talking about your destiny and keeping the faith and what you have to do to, you know, live and walk in destiny. And tonight, we just want to keep with that momentum and talk about keeping the momentum in your destiny, because we do understand that there are times that we get saved and we just be on fire for God. We just be sold out for God. And then as the months go on and the trials and the tribulations come, that sometimes we get deterred or we get, you know, saddened and we lose that momentum that we have. So we just want to make sure that we all are in line, in alignment with the kingdom of God and keeping our momentum and our destiny so that we can be kingdom builders.
That's true. I know what Lady Shay is talking about, because on the walk of life period, you know, just the daily life, you get tired.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you get tired, you feel like you just don't want to do it. So we have to stay focused. You have to keep encouraging yourself, even on the day-to-day. Yeah, I had to encourage myself this morning to go to work. And you know, that's going to work to get paid. I had to encourage myself to do that.
What the Bible say, a man that don't work don't eat.
That's true. So I had to encourage myself and say, hey, get up out of bed and go to work and not call in sick. But that's what we just want to talk with you all tonight. You know, we want you to be open. If you have questions, we want you to call in with your questions, with your comments tonight, and just, you know, hope that you're encouraged about what our topic is.
Yes, and as we was exploring ideas for this segment, and we were throwing out different ideas, and we threw out the idea of keeping your momentum, it brought me back to a couple of people in the Bible that just, you know, went through very hard times and went through some things, and they had to keep going.
Right.
And I thought about Nehemiah, and when Nehemiah was helping the people to build the walls, to restore the walls of Jerusalem, and they were out there just working hard, and there were so many people that were trying to, you know, stop their progress, so many people that were telling them that their walls were not going to, you know, sustain anything, so many trials and tribulations that came up against them. And I believe Nehemiah just had to keep on going. And even in the scripture, it said that he said, you know, well, we're going to stay up here and we're going to do the good work of the Lord and we're going to keep building these walls. And that, you know, encouraged my heart, because there are so many times financial situations come at us, you know, marriage situations, friendship situations, church situations, you know, just people, life situations happen to us. And it's like, what do I do now? How do I keep going when I'm so broken? And I think Nehemiah said it best, you know, we're going to keep doing what we do, and we're going to keep on fighting a good fight of faith and standing on the word of God.
Yes, we have to stand. We have to stand. It's very good. You know, she made a very, very good point. We have to keep going no matter the situation, no matter what it is, even when we're fearful. Because sometimes we go into situations and we're looking at the gravity of what, you know, the situation is, thinking that, oh, we might not be able to do that. We might not be able to stand. But if God has equipped us, and if God has called us, and if God has put us on that path and into destiny and into our calling and that mission, then we know that He is behind us, and we know that He will give us strength, and we know that He will carry us through, because He has already won the fight for us, basically. I mean, you know, the fight is already won today. So
that is true. But you know, Elizabeth, what I find sometimes is so hard is that when we're in the midst of it, it's like everything is breaking loose. There's a storm over our lives, and it's just like, how do I keep going? And I know last week you told your wonderful testimony about the different things that you had went through in your life, being a single parent, raising your daughter, you know, trying to stay on the battlefield for the Lord. And, you know, what gave you, I know you touched on, you know, your friends, your family members prayed for you, and they did all of these different things. But what are some other things that you did, just probably in your day-to-day walk, that helped you maintain your sanity and still love God in the midst of all of that?
You know, sister, what did I do? That's a very good question. I had to, you know what, Aunt, to be very honest, I had to do that. This week I had come up on a situation.
Oh, wow.
And you know, like you said, the first thing I do is I pray.
Yeah.
And that's a constant thing. You know, that's something that no matter what it is, no matter if it's good or if it's bad or if it's up and down, if I'm feeling strong or whatever it is, I'm going to God in prayer. And in that prayer, I listen for Him. I listen for Him to speak to me. And then I study the word. I read the word, because you have to have that word within you, so that if something is, you know, you do need to pull for that encouragement.
Yes.
You're pulling from that scripture. You know, I love the book of Psalms. Psalms is my book, because I can find something to encourage me.
A big worship, right?
In Psalms. I mean, you know, Psalms 91, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. You know, you want to hide in that secret place. So that's what, you know, during the week I'm reading and I'm praying and I'm just staying focused. You have to keep your mind focused. And I know for me, I write a lot during the week.
Okay.
Because if I'm feeling like, whatever it is, if I'm having a bad day, so to speak, you know, we have those heavy days, I just start to write.
Yeah.
I just start to write, because the more I write, I can get out that emotion, whatever it is, and then, you know,
and be on
about my journey.
Yeah. It's so good you talked about the journey. I just want to read a passage that I stumbled across to say, one of the biggest keys to ongoing spiritual growth is to grow through reading, studying.
Yes.
And having that journey through God's word,
right,
making sure that God can approach you and love on you. And I know we have a similar story. We both were young parents,
right,
to some degree very single parents raising children.
Right.
And I remember there was times that it was very hard for me, you know, and I just remember crying out to the Lord, and the Lord was saying, you know, if you just open your heart. And you know what, for me, somebody telling me to open your heart, and you have no clue about what that means or what that is or how to do it.
Right.
And I remember going to some of the older women in the church and asking them, I said, the Lord said, open my heart. The Lord said, open my heart. And they looked at me and smiled, and they looked at me and smiled, and I was trying to figure out, well,
what does that mean?
Yeah, what does that smile mean, you know?
Right.
And one lady sat me down, and she said, listen, when the Lord says open your heart, He wants to commune with you. He wants to talk with you. So when you talk to somebody, you sit down and you have a conversation with them.
Right.
And she was letting me know, you know, you have to pray. Prayer is the heartbeat of a Christian. Prayer sets you up for success with God. Prayer sets you up to know what God says about you. Also, reading and really studying God's word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this destiny walk, I realized, as I stumble across people, and even myself, there were times that I really did not know what God said about me. You know, what is joyous about me? Why did he create me in such a way? What is so special about me that makes me smile?
Right.
Or makes him smile. Yeah.
Right, right.
And, you know, just trying to keep up with that, you know, I really had to study the Word of God and stand in God's Word. So, you know, those are some things that I did to maintain my quote-unquote destiny or my momentum in God.
Momentum.
Yeah, so I can keep on saying, you know, God, I love you in the midst of a storm. I love you, you know, because I know there's a lot of people that said, you know, the older people, they say, if God don't do anything else for me, he already done enough. And I really didn't understand it to some degree. I mean, I was like, if he already done enough for you, he already done enough. But, you know, then I say, keep on living.
Yeah.
If you just keep on living, you know, you're going to see the hand of God flowing in your life. So, you know, I'm glad that I'm here with, you know, Sister Elizabeth talking about destiny and keeping the momentum in destiny.
Yes, and you know, you're so right. You have to keep on living. You know, whew, it just that prayer for me has been a very big key to keeping the momentum, to keeping me on my path, to keeping me focused. You know, because like you said, when you have that conversation with someone, then you're able to, you know, talk back and forth. Sometimes you need that person, that sounding board, so to speak, that you can, you know, back
bounce
your
ideas off.
Or either somebody just to hear you vent, okay? Just hear you vent and just say, you know, what am I to do? And just hear you vent. But it's good to have that prayer life with God, because I know some people be like, oh, I pray all the time. But really, I mean, like, what does your prayer life look like? Because to me, I gain a lot just by waking up in the morning.
Okay.
I wake up in the morning 4 to 5 minutes ahead of time. I hit the alarm clock for about 15 minutes.
I know, me too.
30 minutes. But, you know, you wake up so I can talk to God first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
So if I am feeling a little frustrated that day, or if I'm feeling a little fearful that day, I'm like, Lord, should I continue down this path? He can talk to me. He can get my mind right to go through that day. So prayer, I think, is a very big key, because in all of these situations, Nehemiah prayed. He talked to God.
Yes.
Esther
prayed
and talked to God.
I know. And she was very bullet.
She had the people pray, fasting.
Yes. And she said, put everybody on a fast.
Everybody
on the path. If our pastors come and do that now, what would really happen?
You'd be going around the corner eating some chips. Tell my I fast pastor. That's what you'd be doing. But did you really? But no, everybody. I mean, but the key in all of that was prayer.
Yeah.
All of that was prayer. I mean, it's just no way around it. I know we talked about that last week. I mentioned that last week when our callers, a young caller had a question, and I said, "Well, you better pray." And it was laughing about it. You better pray, but it is so real.
It is so true.
Prayer can get you out of a lot of situations. Prayer can move mountains. Prayer can change some things.
Yeah.
So if you really need, you know, that motivation, you start with you know, prayer.
And what I realized this week just the last 2 days, yesterday and today, is that prayer is such a key factor in maintaining your destiny, or maintaining the livelihood of your destiny. Because recently, on yesterday, I had someone that passed in my family, and on Sunday, you know, everyone got together and they went out. They had a community affair at the park for him, and he was there, and I was able to walk up to him and hug him and kiss him, not knowing that, you know, his last day was coming really, really soon. We was not expecting it to happen that soon. And when it happened, I didn't know. Someone had shared it with my husband, and he came and told me. And I began to cry, and I just was like, oh, my gosh, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And I looked at Facebook, and one of his daughters was like, just keep us in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Just please pray for us. And I was like, you know, that is so awesome. And even lately on Dr. Oz, Dr. Oz, they had Paula White on there, you know.
Okay.
A woman of God that believes in God, that believes in Jesus. She was on there, and they were talking about prayer and how prayer will keep someone living for a very long time and allow people to, you know, extend the moments that they live on this earth by having faith and believing that God will heal them or that God will deliver them. And I think that was a great accomplishment for the kingdom of God, because there isn't a lot of people that want us on their shows talking about God and talking about Jesus and talking about keeping a faith and keeping destiny. Yeah. And your destiny is wrapped up in who God is. So, you know, I thank God for that. I thank God that, you know, prayer is a key factor in us keeping that momentum. And even as we talk about this, I thought about Paul and when he had that affliction in his body, you know, he prayed.
Right.
One of the things we talked about, he prayed and asked the Lord to take it away from him. And the Lord said, I will not. So let me know that, you know, even in destiny, you know, well, we're expecting God to do one thing, and it's in his will to do another thing.
To do a whole other thing.
Yeah.
His way is not our way. The word of God said his way is not our way and his thoughts are not our thoughts. So I know a lot of times that's a good point you brought up. You know, we want things rush. And, oh, Lord, I think you need to do it, you know, like this. And I say, no, I'm going to do it a whole nother way so I can get the glory. It's not for you, for man to get the glory. It's for God to get the glory, because in all of these situations, God, the power of God was shown through these situations. Shown through these situations in that.
Yeah, but in the midst of all of that, God, like you were saying, God does get the glory in the midst of anything that we do. And living in destiny or living in a purpose-driven life is very important for any Christian. Because you don't want to just say, I love God, and doing anything.
Right.
You
want to
say,
right.
I love God, and I'm in alignment, whether that's preaching his word, teaching his people, dealing with the young people, or maybe that's just going out on the street and feeding the homeless. Maybe that's walking up to your brothers or sisters or a complete stranger and saying, you know, God loves you, or whatever it is. You know, the Bible say, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, there is perfected praise.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's teaching children how to have that perfected praise in God. And we have to learn how to, you know, as they would say last night and the other night of Bible study, stay in our lane. You know what
yeah,
I mean? Yeah, because we sometimes get in destiny and we're like, oh, yes, I want to go save the world and I want to go and over here and do this and I want to go and do that. And we have our hands all over the place. But if that's not what God called us to do, you know, then we're out of line. Yeah.
That is so true. That is so true. I was reading earlier this week on a book. As a matter of fact, it was Tony Evans. I was reading one of his books, and he was talking about destiny, and he was talking about that, you know, even though it's almost exactly what you were saying, even though, you know, we're on this path, but we need to stay in our lane.
Yeah.
Because we can get so high and be like, oh, yes, I'm on my path of destiny, and you done went left somewhere. And God is saying, yes, you might have started out where you needed to be, but now you have gotten too far within yourself with it. You know, we have to put ourselves aside, because a lot of times, at least for me, I am learning that the path that I am on, a lot of it is really not for me, and it has not been for me.
Yeah.
I recall back when I was first, you know, my child was first born. It was the early years, and I used to cry all the time. Lord, oh my goodness, why is this happening to me? You know what I mean? I mean, I used to cry all the time, y'all. Might sound strong now, but I used to cry all the time and just be like, well, Lord, what is going on? You know, why me? And what in it? And it was either my mom. Because it was confirmed. Because, you know, out of the mouth of two or three, the Lord's word says. And so I heard it from my mama, and I think I heard it from one of my sisters. And they were like, well, you know, really what you're going through may not be for you.
Oh, wow, yeah.
It may not be. Right.
testimony.
And in the end, it could be for the testimony. So a lot of this time when we're on our path of destiny, when we're on this road, some of the moments that we encounter,
mm-hmm.
you know, those fearful moments or those times where we feel like we just can't make it,
yeah.
And once we actually make it through, it's really, we discover that it's not, that situation was really not for us. It was for us to share with someone else to help that person.
Yeah.
If you
follow what
I'm
saying. You become a
force. Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And then you can write that book, or you can, you know, share with your sister or your brother, whomever who needs it, and encourage them.
Yes.
And say, hey, look, you know, really, I went through that, and you can make it, and just keep pushing it, whatever you did to get to that point. So that was something I learned early on. And so now, a lot of the times when I have those dull moments, or it just really looks like it's really hard, I just keep pushing, and I make a note. You know, I write down what it is, you know, the steps I've taken, you know, the scriptures, the prayers and whatnot and everything, so that I can share it with someone else.
Oh, wow.
So I can share it with someone else.
That is really good that you talked about a force. The definition of momentum is the force or speed of movement.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of the sentences, it says that the only thing that can stop momentum or stop a force is another force.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we know that the devil is the prince of the air, and he has certain, you know, he's given
mm-hmm.
certain dominion to rule and reign here on earth. But the devil is a force.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and with that force comes depression sometimes,
mm-hmm.
sadness.
Mm-hmm.
What are some other things that comes along with it?
Sadness, you know.
Disobedience.
Disobedience.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
a big one. Sorry, but that disobedience, you know, feeling broken down.
Yep, financial stress.
Mm-hmm.
Educational stress.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not good enough. You know, all those are forces that the enemy brings with him to stop your momentum and to stop the force that you have become for the kingdom of God. Because we know that in the scriptures, the Bible says that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it, meaning that we as men and women of God, we lay hold of that vision of God,
mm-hmm.
and we keep pushing for it, whether it be through prayer, whether it be through educating our children, whether it be educating our sisters or brothers, or in some cases now, the younger people are, you know, bringing older people to the kingdom of God, you know, and different things of that nature. So there we are all in our own right of destiny, a force for the kingdom of God. And the only thing that can stop us is another force. But what I
mm-hmm.
realize is God has given us dominion over
everything. Mm-hmm.
Everything. So there's no devil that can stop you. The devil can bring on heartache. He can bring on pain. He can have people just acting all crazy towards us, mistreating the gifting that God has given us or put in us.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing, we have control of it. We say who stops us and who pushes us forward. We say at that moment in time, like, I know there was a time that I was, you know, really like, oh, my God, my heart is just so broken.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to one of my girlfriends, and I said, I'm so embarrassed. She said, you choose to be embarrassed. And I was like, no, I don't. You know, this person said this person said that. She said, Shaquila, you chose, you know, to take on that responsibility of carrying that burden
mm-hmm.
and stop progress. And keeping the momentum in our destiny, we have to realize that we cannot stop progress.
Right.
We got to keep going in the midst of everything. Jesus was spit on. He had thorns put in his head.
Yes, he was.
Pierced in his side.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says, out came blood and water. And he still hung there on the cross with so much compassion to say, God, forgive them, for they know
mm-hmm.
not what they do.
Right.
And I'm like, shoot, Lord, do I have that kind of faith? Would I hang up there with that moment as a force for the kingdom of God, saying, God, forget them, for they know not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a lot of prayer.
It is.
It's a lot of prayer.
Yes, I understand. It's going to take a lot of prayer. It took a lot of prayer. You know, we can laugh about it now because I know we both have been through our situations and everything, and we can laugh about it now because we have made it through to a point.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay, so I can laugh that it took, you know, a lot of prayer and a lot of forgiveness. And I think, I know on my walk, so far on my journey in destiny and keeping up that momentum, I had to learn to forgive.
Oh, that's a big one.
It's a huge one. It's a huge one. Along with that prayer, it's a huge one. I had to learn to forgive. But you, like you said, those burdens that I was carrying so much from other people.
Yeah.
Once I learned to forgive, then I could move on, and then I could keep up that pace on this walk with destiny.
Yeah.
And it's motivation. But we could keep talking forever. Y'all don't know, we can keep talking forever. But we want to open up the floor to the calls. And you know, we want you to, you know, give us your questions and your comments and join us in on this conversation. It looks like we do have a call. And so so we want to go ahead and let this caller speak.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Carla. How are you?
I'm good.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm just excited about what I'm listening to. It's because just on like early on this week, I've been like really going through. And when I heard Shaquilla say, you know, we choose to take on that burden, that just did something to me. You know what I'm saying? It kind of opened my eyes into a lot of stuff that I just been overwhelming myself with. And what I'm realizing is that, you know, this really isn't my battle. It's God's. And he put us in certain situations, you know, so that he can get the glory. It's no longer about us once we take on Christ. It's about him. And I'm really learning that, you know, as a mother, as a wife, as a daughter, even a child of God. Because it's a lot, you know, that you take on. And my thing is that I'm learning, or I'm trying to learn, is, you know, how to put everything in order.
Okay.
That's my thing, putting everything in order. Because I'm really trying and I'm striving, and I just refuse to lose. But sometimes,
that's,
you know,
good.
Distractions come and they're trying to take you off course, and if you're not careful, and like y'all was saying earlier, prayer, if you don't keep praying, those distractions and those things will come, and it will overtake. Well, it won't, because God won't allow it, but it'll kind of throw you off. It'll throw you off.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you'll open your eyes, and you'll be somewhere you don't want to be.
That's true.
That's very true. And what's your name?
Ashley.
Ashley, thank you so much, Ashley, for your comments and your call tonight. And you're so right. It is. It does take that mindset of you're not going to lose.
Yeah.
Okay. it does take that mindset, because when we come across these situations and, you know, these frustrations and people who, you know, say whatever they want to you, why are you trying to walk on this destiny walk? People will say and do, and, you know, the enemy is always busy. So you have to keep that mindset that, hey, look, I'm going to continue walking. God has already given me the victory. God is on my side.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep pushing ahead, because I'm not going to stay here in this foolishness
much longer.
Okay? I'm going to push ahead. I'm going to push ahead, not because I don't want to lose it.
Yeah, and also, Ashley, the one thing that stuck with me that you're saying, you're trying to get everything in order.
Mm-hmm.
And take it from a person that loves order, and I have a list for everything. Girl, I have a list for everything, and I have to cross that list out, say this is completed, that's completed. And what I realized, I couldn't apply my list to the kingdom of God, because God's ways are not like my ways.
Right.
And what he kept telling me was, I was trying to get all my ducks in order and say, okay, this is how it's supposed to go. And he was like, listen, Shaquilla, you have to get in my word. Know what my word says, and then you can set some type of, let me set the order, and you just walk in it. And I saw life get so much easier for me when I begin to quote the scriptures about what the Lord says about me, that everything I touch will be prosperous.
Mm-hmm.
That's like something on my list right there. Everything I touch, the Lord says, everything I touch shall be prosperous. If I'm of the kingdom of God and I'm paying tithe and offering, he said that he will open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing that I won't have room to receive. There go another order. So, you know, I learned that the order of God is in his word. And a lot of times we don't follow that order because we don't know the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And like me, I like to study, but then I don't like to study. So sitting down, reading a book and all this stuff is just like, really, Lord, you got to help us out.
Right.
But, you know, I realized that there are certain things that God required us to do and certain things we have to be in order, in alignment with, and we can hear it from our pastors and our preachers, but it hits home when you really study the Word of God and walk in the order that He gives us by the Word of God.
All right. And that's such a great and valid point, because I recall, too, that, you know, I was trying to notice, I said I was trying to do all this stuff. You know, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this, this, and this. And my biggest thing was that I had not forgiven.
Wow, yeah.
Okay, so, you know, yes, I'm praying. Yes, I'm reading my Bible and all of this here, but I had not forgiven. And forgiveness is a huge thing.
Yeah.
It's a huge thing. And we have to forgive, because me being having unforgiveness in my heart was not allowing God to use me in fullness the way he wanted to use me.
Yes.
So when we're talking about, you know, getting our things in order and, you know, doing your steps, you need to go, you know, go to the Word and follow what God has for us in the steps that He has laid out for us.
Yeah.
So we're still open to your questions and your comments tonight. We're still open to your questions and your comments. So if you have any questions, you're free to press 1, and we can we can talk to you tonight.
All right. Awesome. So I thank God for our caller who called in. She touched on some really good points about staying focused and different things of that nature. And what I realized, too, is that I have, like, a crew of people that are godly people that help me to stay on that path, you know, that helps me to, that I can go to. The Bible said that we should have good counsel.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that I have a crew of people. If I know I have a question about something, I don't understand something in the Word of God, I don't understand the dreams or the visions that God has given me, or even the destiny that I'm on, and the direction that the Lord is compelling me to go in, you know, might be a little hard for me to bear. So I call on them, and they encourage me in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
They tell me when I'm wrong.
Yes, yes.
They, oh, my gosh.
Oh.
They, like, no, this is what the Word says. This is what the Word, this is how you should function. This is, you know, this is this and that and this. And they help me to understand the Word of God more.
Right.
And they help me to understand that I am not my own. You
so
know,
true.
So many times in our walk, we believe that We're doing our own thing. I'm doing me,
so true.
And whatever that is, whether it be lying, cheating, clubbing, whether it be hanging out with, you know, your friends, whatever it is, but we're following somebody else's orders at all times, whether it be the kingdom of God,
right,
or it be the kingdom of Satan. We're following,
we're following somebody's
orders.
That's right.
You know, the Bible says that you gonna love one and hate the other.
That's right.
So it's either we gonna love God and hate Satan, or we're going to hate Satan and
love
God.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's very important for us to realize that we are always on somebody's team. We're always on somebody's team.
Okay, it looks like Ashley, I think we have another question from Ashley.
When you were talking about the forgiveness, the unforgiveness, that's something that I can, like, really relate to. And even now, I'm still struggling with that. And I think that's the reason why, too, that I'm not seeing a lot of what I want to see in myself. And I can't see what other people see in me, too, is because I haven't, you know, forgiven in a lot of areas. Sometimes, you know, we be like, I did forgive. You know, I'm not letting it bother me. But then at the same time, sometimes when, you know, you talk about something and then, you know, that emotion come in there, it's still, I've learned, it's still a lot of that unforgiveness right there.
Right.
And that's something that I'm still dealing with. Now, even now, I've gotten married, but I still sometimes still hold a lot of unforgiveness toward my husband. You know, and the enemy plays in the back of my head, remember this or, you know, remember that or, you know, here's this and here's that. And, you know, and I try to get over it, but every time, you know, something might not go my way or something might not look right, it'll still come back up. So my question is, you know, how do you deal with that? you know, how do you, you know, you go to God about that? You know, how do you handle that?
That's a good question there, Ashley. How do you go to God? How do you handle that? And I believe Shakita's gonna put, while she's doing that, I'm gonna from me. And the part of how do I go to God and how do I handle that? I just simply went to God. I just simply got down on my knees one day and with a humble heart and as honest as possible, I said, you know what, God, I have not forgiven this person. And I know I have not forgiven them in fullness. I mean, not with just my mouth. I might have said, yes, I forgive you, but it was still in my heart. And I had to ask God to really clean my heart out. I had to ask him to really just wash my heart out, and whatever is left in that unforgiveness, God, you just take that from me. And that was my prayer to him. You know, that's what I did. That's just as simple as I went to God. I told him that I knew I still had it in my heart, and I wanted to be more like him. I wanted to live according to his word, so he had to take that unforgiveness because I could not clearly do it on my own.
Sure.
So That's part of that.
In addition to that, taking it to God, but the Bible also says that if you have an ought against your brother,
mm-hmm.
that you go to your brother in
mm-hmm.
a spirit of meekness.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realize is a lot of times when we're trying to deal with forgiveness, we go to that person when those emotions are high,
mm-hmm.
and they reminded us of what they did or what they said or how they treated us.
Right.
And it's like, oh, my God, Jesus, I'm still dealing with this. But the Bible says you go to them in the spirit of meekness and you say, you know what, you know, this is how you made me feel. This is what you did that I did not like. Not with an attitude, oh,
right.
you did this, you said this,
right.
when you're mad and you're angry.
Right.
It got to be a time when you're just totally calm.
Right.
Just like, you know what, I'm in a cool place. I'm just chilling. And you go to them and you can pour out your heart and say, this happened and that happened and that
right.
happened. And you know what, in my heart I forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to know how you made me feel at that moment.
Right.
And if you did something wrong them, you go and I'm sorry for this.
Mm-hmm.
I made
right.
you feel like this. I know, you know, I said this and I said that out of anger. I apologize. And then you go to God. The Bible said then you come back to him and you offer your giftings up to him. And not only that, forgiveness is partly saying I'm sorry and partly a mental state of mind.
Correct.
Because the enemy will play on our mind.
Yes, he will.
The enemy will remind us. It could be a word, a person, a
mm-hmm.
face, or something that flashes, that comes before us, or you might see them gesture a certain way that takes you back to that moment when you were upset and you were angry. And I'm going to tell you what I did. I'm very, when I mean to tell you with all my heart, reading the Word of God is so enlightening for me. It helps me
mm-hmm.
because I remember I was going through something with somebody and, you know, I hadn't went to them and apologized. They hadn't came to me and apologized, but I was still having those feelings and those emotions. And I said, God, what do I do to get rid of this? And the Lord told me, he said, you know, it's your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get
mm-hmm.
that thought out of your mind because if not, it's going to keep replaying.
Okay.
And he took me to Philippians 4:8. And the Bible said, finally, brethren,
mm-hmm.
whatsoever things that are true, whatsoever things that are honest, whatsoever things that are just, whatsoever things that are pure, whatsoever things that are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, meaning if there be any life in you, and if there be any praise, think on these
things.
And what happened,
yeah.
and I was like, God, why are you taking me? And he said, anytime you get this feeling or this emotion, come on, you got to start thinking about happy thoughts,
right.
thinking about praising God.
That's
or
right.
or
that's
think.
Right.
And what happened was, and this was before I got married, my happy thought was my wedding dress. I wanted a huge wedding dress that was pure white, that had all this, you know, tulle and all this stuff with a long, long trail. And anytime I would get down or anytime I would get in that moment where I was just like, man, forget this. They did me wrong. They said this. They treated me bad. They disrespected me. They
mm-hmm.
disrespected the character that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I started thinking on those things that are pure. I started thinking on my pure white wedding dress. I started thinking on those things that were lovely. I started thinking about me walking down the aisle. And not only that, I started thinking that praise began to, oh, God, I just thank you for this. And then I went into prayer. And what what I realized is the more I did this, if it took minute by minute or second by second, sometimes
that's
it
right.
takes hour by hour. And I built up a tolerance. So when that person came in my face, it didn't faze me no more because I was really, you know, I hadn't got that thought out of my mind. So, you know, Ashley, what I would tell you, it's like Elizabeth said, you know, you got to pray. You got to stay before God. Also, you got to go back and right your wrongs.
Yes.
You know, you
yes,
have to
you
right
know.
Your wrongs. And not only that, get a really good thought. Study the Word of God because the Lord took me to Philippians 4 and 8. He said, those things that are pure, honest, they are just. If there be any virtue, if there be any life in you, if there be any love in you, if there be any compassion on you, think of those things.
You know, and that's so, that is so true. And even now to this day, I'm glad Shaquilla brought that up, because even now to this day, especially at work, I have, you know, we work at different places. You know, everybody knows what that is. It is at work. You know, you have them people at work who mess with you. But I also have scriptures up at work. You know, I copy and paste them in a Word document. I print them out with a nice little border and put it up so that when I'm having those thoughts, no matter what it is, be it unforget, whatever the thought is, my mind starts to stray. I look to the left. And I will see that, you know, that Psalms 91 or that Philippians 4, and I read it, and it brings my mind back. It brings me back because the devil is so crafty. He will try and use anything to get to your mind.
Yeah.
His job is to steal, kill, and to destroy,
yes.
to have you confused, depressed, and all of that. So anything he can use to get to your mind.
Those strongholds.
That's right. That he will try to use. So you have to keep yourself studied up and prayed up in the Word and, you know, close to God so that when those trick of the enemies come, you say, you know what, okay, let me pull up this scripture. Okay,
yeah.
God, you know, or you start singing your song, whatever your song is, you run that song in your mind all day, put it on repeat, and that's your song. But sometimes it may have to take that
to
keep your mind stayed on God so it can keep you focused and keep you on your goal.
Yeah, and also in another scripture that is very close and dear to my heart is 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. That, you know, we serve a God that would give us the ability, who has not only will give us, who has given us the ability to destroy strongholds over our lives. But we have to realize that our strongholds are just what it says, a stronghold, and we have to break it. And how do we break it? Through the Word of God, through prayer, getting with some real saved people, taking good saved counsel, not people that, you know, is in foolishness or doing any and everything, but, you know, they just, you know, living for God and loving God.
And that is so true. You know, and we have a young brother here with us tonight, and we want to try and get a male, you know, a male's perspective on, you know, what the males do, because we got male callers on here,
yeah.
so we want to know what the males
what the males say about this
to keep, you know, on their walk and keep themselves motivated.
Yes, hello, everyone. This is Brother Poole. Just stopped by to give a male's point of view of what I would do to keep myself walk on the path to destiny. And the main thing that we've been talking in Sunday school is the relationship.
Yeah.
The relationship that you have with God will determine exactly the path that you're going to take. What I mean by that is if that you only go to God when you need something, that means that you're not going to be walking in His destiny. If you only go to God when things are going wrong, that means that you're really not going to be hearing His voice when He tells you to go to the right or to the left.
Yeah.
So therefore, if your relationship is rooted and grounded where you can hear the voice of God, you can understand everything that He says, and you listen to His voice, you know, obey His commandments, then the road, you know, you're going to have bumps and bruises, you're going to have dips, and you're going to have barriers, but you can go through them. That's
yeah.
the main thing, because your relationship is a solid foundation.
So, Brother Poole, do you believe that in keeping the momentum in your destiny that you have to, most importantly, have a relationship with God?
Correct. You have to have a relationship with God. You can't have a you have to have a solid relationship.
Oh, yeah,
you
I
have
like
to
that.
Be rooted and grounded. He says the race is not given to the swift, but to the strong and the one that endures to the end. So, you know, you can't rush this.
Preach.
You can't rush this thing. You have to have a solid foundation. He says, on this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail on this solid rock. So if my relationship is rooted and grounded in God, then the momentum, you know, is going to come. You know, he's going to give you things. He's going to put stuff in your way. He's going to take you through trials and tribulations. But the thing is, one thing that he brought to my mind, he said, he said it's never going to be easy.
Yeah.
But you're never going to be alone.
Yeah.
So even though that you're going up and down, you're having these ins and outs, you know, he's never said it was going to be easy. But one thing he said was you're never going to be alone. You're always going to have that comforter. You're always going to have the Holy Spirit. He's always going to put people in your path to help you in and out. So I just stopped by to give a man's point of view.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Poole.
Thank you so much. That was good. You know, it's good to have, you know, different perspectives when we're having our discussion. So we still have time for one more question. And we thank Ashley for her questions tonight. Ashley, we really hope that, you know, we provided you some insight and some
help.
Some good help and some comments. So Ashley, we thank you for your comments and your questions. And if we have others who have any comments or questions, we do have time for about one or two more questions. So, you know, I really enjoyed the conversation, Shaquila, because many of you, well, you don't know, many of you all might not know, Shaquila is. Oh, we have a question. But one of the finishes, we'll take that question. But Shaquila is one of my, you know, we talked about last week how we have that village and, you know, the people that I have in my life that help me to stand on this walk. And she is one of them. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Okay.
I appreciate that too, sister.
All right, caller. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Hi, caller. What's your name?
Melanie.
How are you tonight, Melanie?
Yes, I'm well. I'd just like to know, since we're talking about walking in your destiny, how do you know what your destiny is? How can you find out? What steps do you need to take to find out what your destiny is, where you're supposed to be walking, what you're supposed to be doing, as far as God is concerned? Thank you.
Thank you for your question, Melanie. It's a very good question. It's a very good question, Melanie. I'm gonna let Shaquila start with this.
So, Melanie asked one of the old age questions, like, how do you know what your destiny is, and what steps can you take to walking into your destiny or living in that moment of, you know, what God tells you to do. And I think we touched on a lot of that tonight. Is first you have to develop a relationship with God in order for you to know the plans for your life from God.
Right.
So it first starts with, you know, first it may be studying, reading the Word of God, praying, you know, and you can do the Our Father prayer. And then you can go from there, God, please open up my eyes, my spiritual ears, that I can hear you, that I can hear your plan that you have for me, and how I can flow in that. And that was one of the key things that I did when I first started, you know, with this walk with God, is just praying, God, give me ears to hear your word, to hear what you say about me. And the one thing he told me is, Shaquila, study my word, know what my word says about you, and know who you are.
Right.
Because the devil or the enemy will come in to test your character, or to test if you really are, quote unquote, saved. You know how you get out of character somebody and they say, oh, they ain't saved and stuff like that. So the first thing I would tell anybody is to first to develop a relationship with the Lord. Secondly, read the book of John. The book of John talks about the life, the burial, the resurrection, the walk of Jesus Christ. How did he function in life? How did he walk in that destiny? And the reoccurring message that I saw in the book of John is, hey, Jesus said, listen, I'm just here to do my Father's will. I'm just here to do my Father's will. Listen, if he gave me the ability to heal, I'm going to heal. If he gave me the ability to allow the spiritual virtue to flow out of my robe, to flow out of my body, mm-hmm. then I'm going to do that. I just want to do the will of God.
Right.
And then being in the will of God is communicating with saints that are like God. So you got to go to church. For all the ones that say, hey, I can have church at home by myself. The Bible said, don't forget to assemble yourself together. Don't forget to connect with one another because you gain strength that way. So you got to come to church. A really good tool that we have in churches, Bible study and Sunday school.
That's right.
That's when people, if there's a lot of people that don't understand the these and the thous and all of that good stuff in the King James Version and all this stuff like that. So you have to come to the house of the Lord so that someone can open up those scriptures to you. And then when they open up the scriptures to you, you don't stay right there. Guess what? You go home and you study that
for
word.
Yourself.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
you want to know God for yourself. So when you begin to pray, you can say, God, you said in your word, I shall be the head and not the tail. You said in your word that you have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor is seed begging for bread. God, you said in your word that I am a blessing to my husband. You said in your word that my husband is blessed because, you know, all of these different things. So those are some of the things that I would advise anyone and Sister Melanie to do when you're trying to walk in the destiny of God, is to open up that communication with God that you can talk with him.
And that's so very true. And just to wrap it up, when you made the comment, when, you know, you're going to God, God is speaking to you, and he was telling you to read his word, to figure out his word. You know, that is so true. Even now, when I have my time with God, if I'm going through one of, oh God, what am I supposed to do? You know, what's my step? You know, you know how we do. I mean, even the most seasoned people still need to go to God and pray. And God simply tells read my word, and it comes so clear. I mean, I don't think that there will ever be a time, and I walk with Christ. Period. That we will not be void of reading his word and praying.
Correct. Yes.
That there won't ever be a time, because we need to stay focused with God. Our pastor, our bishop, has been pastoring for 33 years.
Yeah.
We just had the pastor for 33 years, and he still reads and he still studies.
Mm-hmm.
And
he got all them books.
He does. He has a lot of books to help him study. But there's never a time that we can't, you know, go to God and his answer or read my word.
Yes.
Because his instructions are
in the word of God. Yeah.
And so when we, you know, when we fall off a little bit on this, not fall off, but if we ever get discouraged or we get a little, start losing that momentum, you can always find encouragement in the word. You can always be reminded of God's promises in his word. You can always be reminded of the instructions in his word. So prayer, I think we talked a lot about prayer.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about prayer.
Prayer will get you into destiny time.
It will. And it will help keep you there. It will help keep you there. Excuse me.
And like Sister Elizabeth said, prayer will keep you in your destiny and keep you walking straight in alignment with God because you have an open communication with God. So at this time, I think we have time for just one more caller. No more?
No, we want to have time.
Aww.
But it's just gotten so good. But you all can join us and join Bishop Poole on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. on Blog Talk.
Yes.
He runs his show on Thursday night at 7, and he comes with the word. So if you have more questions or more comments about destiny or just following, you know, the word of God or living this Christian life, tune in to him Thursday nights at 7 p.m.
And you can also come and join us at our church, Jesus Christ International Ministries. We have Sunday school at 10 a.m., our main service at 11:30 a.m., Wednesday night Bible study at 7:30, and we also have Thursday afternoon prayer at 4 p.m. So you are feel free to come and join us at our ministry. If you don't have a church home, or if you're looking for a church home, you're looking for a church that will, you know, open up the word of God to you. Jesus Christ International Ministries is the church you want to be at.
That's right.
And Sister Elizabeth is going to give us the address.
Yes, it's located on our website. We have a temporary location, and you can go to our website at jciministries.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Jesus Christ International Ministries, Inc., and you can follow Bishop Poole at SeniorBishopPoole@Facebook.com. And if you're not able to make to our physical location here in the Broward, Palm Beach, and Dade County, if you're not able to make it in, you can view us live on Ustream on Sundays at ustream.com/go to the youth. We are just so thankful, and we're so grateful for you all tuning in with us tonight. And as we close, we have a song that we want to share with you all. It's about living on your destiny. It's about walking in what God has called you to do. So we appreciate you all being with us tonight. We hope that you join Bishop Poole on Thursdays at 7 and join us again to be with us and,
yes,
and know about the Word of God.
And this is Lady Shay signing out.
Rainbow in the rain. always pray.